Hello coaches, it's Stuart here, the proud founder of Football DNA. In today's podcast, episode 3 of 2024, we are joined by Sam Cox, an experienced coach in the under 13s to under 16s age groups. Sam is also coaching with the Wellstone first team. In this episode, we are joined by our host Ross Brooks, West Ham United Academy coach and Football DNA coach. So let's dive straight into today's topic of coaching in the YDP phase.
Hi there, it's Ross here from Football DNA, and we're delighted to be joined by Sam Cox for another Football DNA podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Sam.
Thanks for having me, mate.
No problems at all. So, Sam, today we're going to be looking at those 13 to 16-year-old age groups. I suppose in academy football, that's the YDP, but this podcast really is for coaches working at grassroots, but there'll definitely be some relevance to those that are working in the professional game. So, Sam, I suppose before we start, I don't know if you can just give a little bit of an introduction into yourself and talk a little bit about your playing and your coaching experiences, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, so again, thanks for having me, Ross. Of course, me and you go back a long way, having done our A licence together back at St George's Park all those years ago. So thanks for having me on. I come from a playing background. I started my journey many moons ago. Managed to earn myself a professional contract before being released. Upon release, doing the rounds of the Football League and non-league, some of which clubs include Barnet, Cheltenham, Torquay on loan. Having then dropped down into non-league, signed at Hayes and Yedin before forging a career within the National League and National South at Bournemouth, Hampton and Richmond, Braintree, Wealdstone, and the list goes on, mate. We probably haven't got that much time, but yeah, I feel in the last, 5 to 6 years, I've been, forging a career off the pitch, like I said before, doing my coaching badges, and now working, got the under 15 age group. So I've been there quite a while now, and since then having had other coaching experiences, now assistant manager of my national team, Guyana, and of course last season being player assistant manager at Welling United in the National League South. So yeah, I've been on a bit of a journey, one that's been much enjoyable. It's been an absolute roller coaster, and I'm currently looking for my next challenge in terms of a senior domestic opportunity, but in the meantime I'm learning as much as I can and continuing my own personal development.
Amazing. Yeah. And I know, Sam, your different experiences of playing and coaching have really been invaluable to you, from sort of seeing you develop over the years, every time we've met, from our course and your work that you're doing too. And it's been great to see. I suppose then you've had the experience of working at that senior level as a national team, club level as a coach, but sort of in your youth development, sort of working in youth development, you've sort of predominantly worked with those sort of middle age groups, that 13 to 16 age groups. I mean, what were the main things for you in terms of what you want to coach when you're working with those younger players?
So I do feel between, that 13 and 16 age group, the YDP phase, I think it's a really exciting prospect. I think I really enjoy working between those age groups because, one, they're just transitioning from going from 9-a-side to 11-a-side. And two, you can start now feeding them tactical elements of the game, probably which they wouldn't have been exposed to in the foundation phase, albeit still continuing the individual development, what they need. So continue with their individual learning programs, etc. But again, adding those tactical elements, giving them that understanding of what the real game looks like, what it feels like. So yeah, I've had real joy probably working with those age groups, and particularly the 15s and 16s. You could probably start giving them a bit more football language and start talking to them a bit more like men. But yeah, ultimately they are still so moldable at those ages. So continuing their individual stuff is for me the most important facet within those age groups.
And looking back at your playing experiences when you were 13, 14, 15, 16, I mean, how much is your experience as a player, how much does that influence you as a coach now when you're helping these young people that are looking to progress through the academy or sort of looking to continue their playing at whatever level? How has that affected you really as a coach?
Massively, mate. I think you know a lot of what I deliver now. Certainly, I've been a product of my journey and some of those coaches that I worked with in those age groups. And I was quite a late bloomer. I didn't come into the academy environment until under 15. So I was the last one that came in. And it's you know you look now, it's really difficult for a young player to come into an academy fold having had no real experience as such, and then you know. Try and earn themselves a scholar and then professional contract. So a lot of my foundation came from grassroots, and I've got a lot to thank for some of those coaches within the grassroots setup. And one being my dad. My dad was my first ever coach, and eventually took on my Sunday league team. And you know, he was fantastic for me, and just kind of really giving me the foundation of having to work hard and graft and grind and do the ugly side of the game. That helped me massively when I got my opportunity at under 15s, and you know I had that raw ability to get after people, to run, to do the other side of the game. Going back to your question, a lot of that rooted, you know, hard work first before anything, building that winning mentality alongside of you know helping the individual, giving them what they need, what that particular individual needs to improve and to go on to have a career. I try and kind of include that in my coaching, and that's the way I do things now. And I've certainly been influenced heavily by, you know, those 13 to 16 years that I had.
Brilliant, that's fantastic. And a couple of things I sort of picked up from there, sort of want to build upon. I suppose that late developer in these age groups is a massive thing, isn't it? You know, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, transitioning into 11v11, and suddenly you can find yourself being one of the smallest players on the pitch, covering distances that are really too big for you. And equally, those early maturers can make be really more suited to the format there and then. So, I mean, how do you deal with those sort of late developers within, you know, your coaching if you've got the differences within, you know, sizes in your in when you're working?
So again, I'm influenced by what has gone before me, and you know, I look at some of the coaches that I had. Size was never a problem. It was always individual based, and what that player can do on the ball. I do feel within the schoolboy age groups, technique is currency. So if you're seeing the outcomes of a young player developing technically. I think that's the most important thing. I think we have to be patient with, you know, again, we speak about those late maturers, those that are under maturated at a young age, you know, between 13 and 16. Some of them, they need that time to develop, but you have to have the patience and be prepared to give that player time if you see something in him technically.
Yeah, brilliant. I suppose for any grassroots coaches listening in, I think that's a really important message around that patience. So I think obviously you get drawn in, especially these age groups you spoke about with that winning mentality. And I suppose that's different to winning. You know, I think if you're always going to play your players and try and win every single game, there may be a trade-off for that, especially for these later maturers that may be not able to perform or be as effective as those earlier maturers. So, you know, how can you in find games for them or get them playing across age groups or just be patient with them, knowing that you're not going to be as effective in the games, but in time those late maturers will come good. The other thing I wanted to touch base on was just around like the positions as well. So, I mean, obviously when the boys start moving into 11v11, how do you approach playing positions then? Do you have it that they're sort of set in one or two positions, or do you still rotate positions around? How would you encourage coaches to look at that?
I think it's important that between the ages of 13 and 16 is that you start trying to identify what type of player you are going to be. So if you're going to be a defensive player or a back half player, you need to really knuckle down on the fundamentals and the basics of, you know, be hard to beat, 1v1 defending. If you're a fullback, have you got the six passes from fullback positions? Can you head it? Can you tackle? If you're an attacking player, it's about, you know, homing down on your dribbling techniques. If you're a YD and you know, being a crossing specialist, you have to really start really trying to knuckle down on what type of player you're going to be. But in terms of positioning, again from my past and my experience of academy players coming through and going to make Premier League careers, I do think it's important within the YDP age groups that you have to have an array of, you know, trying to experiment in different positions. Because again, I always speak of examples, players like Harry Kane, who's gone on to probably be the best striker in the world, and our country's all-time goal scorer. He was playing across all different positions, played at the back, played in goal, played in midfield, played as a striker, played as a 10. So, you know, I think he's a great example of someone that's just got on with it. And I do see now there's a lot of impatience with parents and players where they want to play in a specific position. But I do, without doubt, see the importance of exploring different types. Again, not coming away from what type of player you want to be. But again, another example, Danny Rose, who got bought from Leeds United as a central midfield player, played as a seven, played as an 11 every now and then, but predominantly an eight or a six. Gets called up to the first team, makes his debut as a left back, scores a wonder goal against Arsenal, and goes on to be probably arguably one of the best left backs in the world. So I do think it's important that you do explore other positions, but try and really identify what type of player you want to be and really home in on those basics, depending on position.
Yeah, and you spoke about it earlier about that individual work, and I suppose coaches, that may be something to look into when you're looking at your training week and your sessions. How do you create some individual time or some position specific time when you're working in there, but not being fixed on that, you know, being ready to adapt, and players may need to have difference within that. But also, as you've touched on those basics, you know, you might go position specific with some of your work. There'll be some basic skills that fundamentally all the positions will require. So still ensuring that in your program you have that work to give the boys a real or girls a real broad base of skills. I'm sort of leap going on to, and I know you mentioned your dad as well, coaching too. I mean, how do you coach then? Like, how would you sort of, you spoke about obviously being hardworking and that being one of the things you
Yeah.
want in bed, but I mean, when you're working with players of these age groups, how do you sort of approach it yourself?
So I the way I live my life, I try and be as positive as I can in everything that I do. So I think even though I've got quite a command style when I'm coaching, sometimes it's almost like in my head I'm thinking I need to shut up, Coxie. I'm talking too much. But that's just the way I was as a player. That's the way I liked to be coached. So I guess that's the way I am as a coach. I'm very command style, trying to get the best out of players. I'm quite loud. I'm encouraging, but I always try to make it positive. And again, going back to it's what the player needs. If I know maybe if one of the players probably needs a little bit less and just needs to play without me in his ear role, then I've got to identify that and see that. If it's another player that needs a little pick me up, I might have to be on him a little bit more so. But it's always coming from a good heart, and always I try to have a positive emphasis on everything. Again, going back to what you said, I'm always with the element of working 100%, working to your max, pushing yourself and pushing the group. That's kind of my style.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I think that's important, isn't it? Is if you know who you are as a coach, being you, being yourself when you're coaching is really important. And then understanding like the benefits of, and maybe sometimes the weaknesses of that style. And then actually, I know these individuals might not always be as receptive to this, so I'm gonna have to just tweak and change it, but and be adaptable. And you getting that feedback from your from your players or your colleagues, or through reflecting, whether that's watching yourself coach or reviewing your session, you know, they're all ways of it sort of self-improving, but not coming in away from who you are as a coach. So one of the things I wanted to cover today then was just sort of some ideas for coaches working in these age groups in terms of what sorts of things you would deliver in training, really. Have you got any particular practices that are go-to practices for you that you sort of really like embedding?
So I again go back to the individual stuff. The first 20 minutes of a session, I always keep it individual based. So a lot of ball leech stuff, tend to start with a lot of ball juggling and just sensitizing with the ball, getting used to the ball, plenty of ball contacts, So it'll be a lot of ball juggling, a lot of core skills, technical DNA stuff, dribbling techniques, passing techniques, ball on wall stuff. I tend the first 20 minutes of a session typically looks like that. Then before going into a bit more combination stuff, and then it would be tight technical combination practices dependent on the day. So obviously we usually go one session will be quite tight knit, and then the second session would be more extensive. But I'm a massive fan on short, sharp technical practice after the 20 minutes of individual stuff, just to really get the boys going, really focusing on the brilliant basics. And then from then going on to possession practices and small-sided games. Typically, that's how I would structure a session, dependent on the week's syllabus. So the way we work within the academy structure, we work with a syllabus which changes on a weekly basis, and we have a 6-week cycle as such. And within that, within one, like you said before, about position specific stuff, we would have allocated time within the week so the boys can have position specific clinic based practice to really hone down and knuckle on what type of player position specifically where they want to be and see themselves. So that's typically how I structure a session. But again, always going back to what the player needs, that's always the most important thing.
Yeah, brilliant. And I suppose depending on coaches listening and how much contact time they've got with their players throughout the week, if they've got two sessions, that gives you a little bit more flexibility on what that can look like. If you've only got one session a week and you've got maybe an hour or 90 minutes, it'll be about just how you prioritize that time, but still get that variety because you sort of touched on it about the importance of different pitch sizes. So if you've got one session, do you do small, medium, and large stuff within one session? How much of it is team? How much of it is individual? How much is technique? How much of it is games? And just trying to play around with that balance. But if you've got them, the plays for two or three sessions, you can probably look at, well, that's a technical night. This is going to be a tactical night. This is going to be a games night or some individual stuff. And then try making it down that way. But I suppose fundamentally, it comes down to, the individual players that you've got, but also how you want to play as a team. As well. And I mean, within this, do you then have you mentioned obviously about the 6 week block, but I don't know, you personally as a coach, how does it work for formations with you? Do you like having a block of formations? Do you have a set formation that you try and work with, or do you adapt the formation based on the players that you've got?
So where I work, we have a methodology and a philosophy and how we play. So we've got a set structure as such, which kind of filters down all the way to the foundation phase. We still get the elements of what we want to do in the YDP and PDP. And that's almost a continuation up into the first team. So we're quite fortunate where we are. We've kind of got that continuum of methodology all the way up to the top. Again, we speak about there can be slight tweaks dependent on obviously personnel, like we spoke about, but generally, we have a way of doing things and we kind of adhere to that and give the boys what they need again. But this is the framework in which we work from and this is it. So we like you say, every practice that we do, there's tactical elements within that. So whether it be a possession practice, there's still tactical elements which relate and look to how we want to play on a Sunday or Saturday. Typically, match day minus one on a Saturday, that's when we would really go through like the 11v11 stuff and the tactical side of things and how we want to perform on a Sunday. So yeah, that's typically what we do where we are.
Nice stuff, nice stuff. Thanks, Sam. And I suppose really to wrap it up then, is it, I mean, for coaches working in these age groups, have you got any advice or anything else to that you think might support them if they're going back listening to this and thinking, right, next session, this is what I want to do. Have you got any of sort of last bits of advice for them?
Technique is currency. I think within the YDP phase, I think individually is still so important, working on what that player needs, what the game looks like now, what are you looking like in terms of what type of player do you want to become? And I still think there's such importance of working with that young individual, homing down on you know, the basics still, but what does this player need? Because the reality is in 4 or 5 years' time, he could be playing men's football in the Premier League. So give him what he needs, give the players what they need. Technique is currency. And yeah, start giving them the understanding of what the game's now starting to look and feel like. That would be my advice.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sam. And I think that's really refreshing. Not to over-tactilise these age groups and really prioritise that individual, really prioritise the technique, and then just trying to work and align it to that 11v11 format to help prepare them as they progress through. But ultimately, if your technique and you're individually not at the level, it's going to be really difficult for you to transition through into senior football at a high level. So I think for coaches listening in, that's definitely something for them to go away and consider, regardless of what level they're working at. But as always, it's always good to catch up, and I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast. And we're really looking forward to seeing where the coaching journey takes you. And you know, I'm sure alongside your playing experience, you've got a really exciting career to come. So yes, thanks for joining us, and speak soon.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Football DNA podcast. We hope you found it enjoyable and gained lots of valuable information that you can take into your coaching for the rest of the year. In case you didn't know, we have our own coaching app, Football DNA, which you can download from the App Store or through our website, footballdna.co.uk. Go and check it out to find over 1,000 videos, including top practices, sessions, and full season curriculums from our expert coaches.